Hello and welcome to Bleed Geek episode number 28. I'm Mike Earl.
I'm Randy Orvis.
Today is December 1st. If you are watching
live,
you have video because we only record the audio. But if you're watching live, you can see that clearly Christmas is upon us here in the Orvis household. Well, you can see a little bit.
I don't think you actually can.
No, none of it?
Nope. That's pretty funny.
Even up here?
Nope.
Behind me? Uh-uh. I mean, it's like right next to my head.
I know, but it's like
the thing cuts off right after my head.
Right here on you. And then it's
Well, you can't see it, I guess, but... Well, there's some on that light over there. You see that? Can't make out what it is, can you?
Nope.
Yeah. Anyway, Christmas is upon us. December 1st. So we passed Thanksgiving last week. Today is Thursday, December 1st. Which is when we normally do our podcasts at 8.
Normal.
Close to 8.
Normal.
Kind of becoming 8:15-ish, 8:10, 8:10 tonight, whatever.
That's true.
But, yeah. Otherwise, you can always find us on iTunes or on our site, bleedgeek.com, which we did a refresh of, a relaunch. What do you call it? Refresh?
Yeah. I say we just cut right into it, huh?
Indeed.
So, we've been talking about the AT&T / T-Mobile merger. So the FCC was going to, did put the kibosh on it, and AT&T decided to pull the entire deal from there. They wanted to regroup to kind of get their ducks in a row before they go back to make another go at it. Well, now sounds like they already have their plan B in the works, and they're going to attempt to sell. So in the original deal, they were going to sell, I believe it was 20%, up to 20% of T-Mobile to other companies, and they decided that now their plan B is they are willing to sell 40% of it along with Spectrum that they own as well. So it... And even that, I guess, came with criticism, because, I mean, there's been a lot, since that story was published, there's been a lot of other stuff that has kind of broke out in the news, where now it sounds like both AT&T and Deutsche Telekom,
I don't know.
Yeah. Some there, Germans.
It's the parent company of T-Mobile.
But it sounds like they are, I don't know if I put it in here or not. But they are looking to sort of co-mingle on the side to create a side company where they would be sharing each other's spectrums. So.
Yeah. And the FCC actually was about to supposedly basically decline everything anyway. And on Thanksgiving, it broke that AT&T is they withdrew their request for a merger for the two companies, so they pulled it out, and they didn't want everything to go public because they thought the FCC was going to decline them, which would make all the documents they had put through. So it's like one of those things where you can't fire me, I quit. They just backed out on their own, and now the FCC did come out with like 109. There's a lot of stuff that you can't see, which kind of sucks. Trying to follow the story because they won't release all the info, but the FCC released this like 109-page form of why they weren't going to let it go through, and then AT&T like came out yesterday or today. And was like, "Well, screw you know the FCC isn't." It's like not based in reality, like basically tell them they're off their hinges more or less. So I don't know. It's interesting.
It's so frustrating listening to it because it's funny reading the comments on all the stories because there's so many people that are like, well, if T-Mobile doesn't do this, they're going to fail. And even AT&T came out and said, well, if T-Mobile doesn't do this, then we're just going to watch this company die and all of their stuff's going to go to auction, which we will just buy up anyways. And it's like, well, All these people are just like, well, where are you guys getting these statistics from? Because T-Mobile still posted their earnings from last quarter, and they were profitable. And it's like they weren't as profitable as what they were before, like in the previous quarter. But it's like there's so many people who, when they first heard this deal, that were jumping ship right away, and they're like, I don't want to be part of that, you know, trying to get out while the getting's good.
And Sprint was actually running a deal, you know, for T-Mobile exactly. customers. If you wanted to jump ship to come to them, they would pay your early termination fees, which was smart, so, I think, but...
I don't know. It just seems crazy to me.
Yeah. The whole thing is, like, just gone to this whole nother level at this point. Just the way everything's happened, I think, is just kind of escalated, and it is what it is, I guess. But yeah. I don't know. There's still be more news about it, I'm sure, and they'll keep going with trying to, you know, get the two companies together, but we'll see what happens with it. So, yeah, moving on, I guess.
Yeah. It was announced that, well, it's been sort of in the works for a while, but I think they just made a more official announcement about it. But RIM is going to be bringing Bez to
Android and iOS. Moving on. No, continuing.
RIM, they're bringing Bez to Android and iOS, which is pretty awesome. I think it's kind of a last ditch effort, sort of, to bring some life into it to make it a useful thing once again. And it seems crazy that they haven't done it before with how, I mean, even if they didn't bring it to Android, with how popular the iPhone is and how many corporate environments are implementing iPhones,
right?
It's like, why didn't you guys do this 2 years earlier when you guys were relevant? Now it just seems like a
afterthought.
Yeah,
who knows with RIM, and I mean, they're just on this downward spiral, and they're just trying to do anything they can to come back right now. So it was nice while it lasted, though, right? Yeah. But anyway, in other mobile news, Windows has an HTML5 demo that you can try on your Android or iPhone. I don't remember exactly what the... You can Google it, I'm sure.
No, I put it in
it's on the Geek Report
from 2 days ago, I think.
So you can go check it out. I actually did it on my iPhone. It worked pretty well. I mean, like, it's just a demo, so, I mean, it just kind of leads you through what to do, but it feels pretty fluid on my iPhone, as funny as that is. It's weird to have to hit the little Windows symbol to go back, but it is what it is. I don't know. I think it's kind of a smart move for Windows to do. I mean, to try to...
Well, it gives people more people. And... It gives people a chance to try it without, having to
look at... Hey, can I borrow your phone?
Exactly.
And play with it for 3 days?
Exactly.
Not that you can play with this. I mean, you can play with it for 3 days, but you're just going to go in a circle because it just allows you to do the same thing over and over. But it's interesting, and I still think it was smart that they did it, because, yeah, like we talked about, it just opens them up to a new market. So it's definitely interesting. Go find the link on our site.
It's true. Twitter purchased WhisperCore. I know not many people have heard of it because they've been kind of a background thought, but So WhisperCore is a full disk encryption option for Android phones. If that doesn't mean anything to you, it is awesome. So if you lose your phone, you don't have to worry about anybody getting the data off of it.
Anyways.
My goodness.
WhisperCore for Android. So Twitter bought it, and they haven't really said exactly what they're going to do with it yet, I don't think.
Mm-mm.
But they did come out and say that they would be going forward as normal with their other business. Like, WhisperCore would keep doing what it's doing. And so you don't have to worry about it if you use it, at least for now. I mean, that could change, obviously, later, but we will see what happens. But yeah.
Speaking of Android.
Speaking of Android and every mobile software at this point. So starting yesterday, was it yesterday?
Well, the video that the guy posted is, it's about a week old.
But okay, but it hit the news.
Yeah.
The security researcher came out with a video that basically showed a loophole to this. There's this thing called Carrier IQ, which is actually a company, I guess, really. The leading provider of mobile service intelligence solutions to the wireless industry. It's basically an analytics company to support all these, you know, wireless carriers and handset manufacturers. But it's like hidden in, you know, all these devices. When they originally came out, it said Android, Nokia, and Windows. But it has since come forth that that's not necessarily true. But it's something around 141 million phones that it's installed on. Since then, they've come out and said iPhones are affected, but iPhone ditched it in 5.0.
Yep.
It was like, and they only started using it in like 3.1, I believe. So it's like between 3 and 5.
Has anybody said, like, who is using it? Like in the end, who's doing what with it?
HTC, I believe it was HTC, says that they have never received data from Carrier IQ, and they're investigating ways to turn it off. It's not actually in Android at all, so it's all the carriers and the manufacturers.
The phone maker
putting it in. Yeah, like HTC, Samsung, Nokia actually wrote, I believe it was Gizmodo, and told them that that they have never put it on any of their products. But it's just been like all over the news in the last 24 hours. If you follow tech news at all,
it's blown up
everywhere. And there's a link on the Geek Report from yesterday that you can go to, which will bring you to The Verge, really. But it has the most up-to-date information on it. But essentially what it can do is record every keystroke, every movement you make on your phone, which, I mean, you could get anything from then.
Well, it's even...
And it's recording. Even as
it's recording not just keystrokes, but... Like, they showed an instance where the guy in the demo video received a text message from one of his friends. It shows that friend's name that you have in the phone, shows their phone number, and it actually shows the content text-wise of what the text message was. So, it's that, it's emails, it's typing in web addresses, so it's kind of a big deal. But nobody knows... what all it's tracking for sure. The company says they're only doing certain things for, I think, usability of the OS. But even if they're only using, you know, a fifth of what this application is taking in, it's like, well, why don't you guys turn off the rest of the monitoring then?
Yeah.
It's just fishy.
And now Senator Al Franken has come out, and he wants to know, you know, what's going on. He's always been an advocate for the privacy, like when the whole location tracking in iOS and Android came out, you know, he was huge into that. But now he's investigating this.
Todd sent me a link to the email that he wrote to the company this afternoon, and I read it. And I know he's a big advocate with privacy and supporting people's rights for it, but it's like at the same
time the way he goes about it,
he's such an idiot when it comes to the end, you know. Well, it was
just like listening to the hearings when they had the stuff about the tracking, and it was, you know,
what's I told Todd is
they,
like,
don't understand
the thing that bugs me, the fact that this is the guy that's representing us in this, but like after listening to him with the Google antitrust lawsuit that was going on a few months ago, it's like none of these people have any idea what's going on in the tech world, yet they're supposed to be representing me for my best interests. It's like, are you freaking kidding me? I mean, he's on the right page with this at least, but
right,
it's still.
Yeah. AT&T has admitted to using Carrier IQ. Samsung did not. They passed it off. Microsoft and HP have both denied that either Windows Phone or WebOS have had any involvement. One of the guys from The Verge actually went and talked to the people at Carrier IQ earlier today, and they basically denied everything, more or less. Or they said that, you know, we'll be as open as we can after we do some testing of our own to see what's really... Like, why would you need to do testing? It's your software. Don't you know what it's doing?
Exactly.
Like, And then later, it seems that they have come out and denied recording, storing, or transmitting different forms of personal information.
Yeah, see, I don't... In the video, they never show... that it doesn't show if it's actually being stored. It's just showing that it's being pushed through the application. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't show you everything.
It's definitely been a huge deal in the tech world, if you paid attention at all, in the last day or so. And I'm sure we'll probably have more to talk about it next week, too, because it's still kind of coming out. Like, everything, like, there's little bits here, little bits there. So we'll see what it all shakes down to and if it really ends up being that much at all. But we'll find out, I guess, right?
It's true.
In other hacking news?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why. I kind of go in waves, but there was some good stuff this week. So we've talked about Team Poison in the past. Working with some bigger hacks with Anonymous, teaming up with them and whatnot. Well, they just announced, 2 days ago? 2 days ago, that they were able to hack into a UN, United Nations server, and they released email addresses, 1,000 email addresses, along with passwords for these. They posted all of their results on Pastebin, which has been, if you guys remember, the big hacking group from, gosh, was it 6 months ago?
Lulzsec?
Yeah, Lulzsec. That was sort of their beast, was pointing everything to Pastebin. So
it's all kind of anonymous there. So
it's true. Well, quoting in the air.
Anonymous.
So, yeah, the UN isn't safe.
Yeah. And Team Poison did also hook up with Anonymous again.
Yes. Poisonon.
Is that what they're calling it? Yep. Makes sense.
So they are working on Operation Robin Hood. And if you are familiar with the storyline for Robin Hood...
I would kind of assume most people are. But
steal from the rich.
Never know, I guess.
Give to the poor. They are joining the protesters with the We Are the 99%, and they are planning on, they've broke into banks before, and their plan is to do it once again to steal credit card information. With this credit card information, they're going to be doing transactions, they even said like dollar amounts or whatever, but so they're going to steal credit card information to make purchases to give to the poor people. Their idea behind it is, well, the bank is going to be covering all of these fraudulent transactions, so the end user isn't going to be harmed on it. So really, everybody's going to be gaining.
So it's just after the banks. I mean, it seems like, I don't know, it's a fine line to cross. I mean...
Well, Robin Hood is a fine line
right
to cross.
It's just this thing, you know? It's like, he's stealing, that's bad. But he's giving it to the poor.
Yep.
Or in this case, charities, so I don't know. It's interesting, though. It's kind of cool, kind of still bad, but...
It's funny. It's an interesting take on... I mean, it's not your typical hacker where it's all about them, you know?
Yeah.
So, I like it. I'm all for it.
Yeah, moving away from the hacker news then. There was a tethering app that, I mean, showed up in the iOS market. I mean, the iPhone on its own can tether already. It's built in. I mean, it's as a mobile hotspot, like most phones are standard at this point, you know. But this was for USB tethering. And the thing is, to make your tethering work on the iPhone right now, you actually have to have a plan to be able to turn it on. Your carrier has to acknowledge that you are allowed to do such a thing. But this app that went through iOS App Store was $15, and it got approved, which, you know, Apple's supposed to have these strict policies and whatever. And it got approved, and it was $15, which seems like a lot, which I considered buying it, but $15 is like, whatever.
You missed out.
Yeah. And everyone's like, oh, get it while you can, because it's going to get pulled. And it did.
And it's funny how long people were... because this app has been up for... has it been a week now? I mean, it's been a while.
I saw it the night before was when I saw it start popping up everywhere, and then the next day is when it got pulled.
It was funny listening or reading stories about it, because I mean, I don't have an Apple device, so I don't pay any attention really to Apple News, but after it happened, I started looking and there was multiple like blog posts saying, you know, it's going to get pulled. If you want mm-hmm. this, you should get it because
get it before it's gone.
Yep.
And I've heard a few reports that say that it actually does work. The thing is how it interprets the data will be what I haven't heard anyway, either way. If it interprets it as just your phone is using data like normal, or if it, because when it uses a hotspot, it tells the carrier that, you know, it's hotspotting. So that's how they know, because even jailbroken phones, when they were doing hotspots, like AT&T would send multiple text messages warning them that if they don't stop, they're automatically going to get switched to a plan that includes it. Which in some cases, like for me, the reason I've never got a tethering plan is because then I would have to get rid of my unlimited data.
Yep.
Which seems counterintuitive anyway, but right. So that's why I've never, I mean, and I, there's Wi-Fi everywhere. I mean, really not everywhere, but it's not hard to find a, you know, Wi-Fi.
True.
But the app, yeah. And the other thing is the hotspot works via wireless. This was over USB type. So you would have, you know, just like you were charging your phone is how it would work. And I actually saw that someone from the company actually direct messaged someone a tweet that they had asked, like, how did you get this through? And they direct messaged them with, then they just put it public after that. I don't remember who it was, but it said that, you know, they went through the regular, you know, just the regular circuit, and even had people from Apple call them and ask them questions about how it worked and stuff, and they approved it. So I don't know if they pulled it just because of all the backlash or if the carriers were like, what are you doing to us?
Yeah.
But yeah, it got taken down because of that. And in other app news, it was announced that Microsoft Office is going to come to the iPad in 2012. Which
Micro Office?
Yeah. Which is interesting, I guess. It makes sense, though.
Well, because Office is already available for OS, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Or OS, yep. X?
Since Steve Jobs came back to Apple, he made a deal with Bill Gates to, you know, to license it for 10 years. I mean, obviously it's still there, but
yeah.
I mean, that was one of the big things he did when he came back that kind of tried to help him get back into, you know, to get
being
instead of going bankrupt, which obviously he did a good job of. But but I mean, right now, I mean, Apple really pushes their iWork suite, which is essentially the same thing, just they make it on the iPad because, well, and with iCloud now, you can sync everything you do to your computer to the cloud, and it automatically saves on both when you make changes on one. So I mean, and it works on the, but I mean, Microsoft has always been a licensing company. I mean, they've never made hardware, so why wouldn't they make software for the biggest, you know, the biggest part of the market right now is obviously the iPad. So it only makes sense that if they can make money there, why not? Even though they are putting out their own tablets. Although I've also been hearing there was a study that came out that said, these people did that said Microsoft missed their window. Did you see that at all?
Mm-mm.
Basically, they had done a survey like 6 months ago, and people were like, it was like 50% of people were excited for a Windows tablet, and the percentage now when they did a recent survey dropped to like 25 or something, and they're saying their window has passed. Like, by the time they even put out a tablet, most people will be on like the second or third integration, you know, like the iPad 3 will be out by the time they put it out, because they're still not even projected to put one out till second or third quarter next year, yeah. Which seems crazy.
I don't need to talk about Apple rumors.
No, I'm talking about Windows tablet.
I know, but that reminded me of
Apple. Yeah, I didn't even put those on there.
I know, but there was a bunch today.
iPhone. I saw a bunch of iPad 3
April,
ones.
Possibly.
Come. I've seen
iPhone 5.
Well, that'd be nice, because that's right around the time, like 2 years is up. Suckers.
Yeah. We had a question. Have you used hotspots at all? We had a question in chat. Do you know how far the hotspot range is?
I've never used it because I would have to get rid of my unlimited data.
I know Josh would know if he was, because he's used it.
He has on his Android phone, right? And I know it's, I don't know if he's ever tried to take it far, but he actually uses it for his iPad all the time. That way he always has internet.
Yep.
And I've stolen internet from him too, off his phone, which is funny, but I don't know. It seems to work pretty well.
I would imagine, you know, a solid 10-foot radius probably would be pretty.
I would assume that's probably accurate. But again, I've never used it myself. Because I don't want to get rid of my unlimited data, even though they possibly throttle me, but haven't had that issue yet.
That's true. And you do probably work their system a bit.
Sometimes, a lot more than, especially now that I have been using iTunes Match a little bit, so, because it finally launched, but I would still say I mostly use it over Wi-Fi, though, because I know it's faster.
Oh, it's so, that's,
like, if I want to download stuff, like, I only ever update my apps when I'm at home, because I don't, it takes forever. Well,
Plus,
it kills my battery if I use 3G all the time. Heavily. Doesn't always stop me, but
Can't win them all.
And apparently I'll just keep going.
It's true.
I did it though. So the Kinect 2 is rumored to be coming out. I don't know. Did it say a date?
They haven't given
next
a date
year
yet.
Sometime.
They're
I would assume
talking about it.
Maybe they'll show it off at CES. That would kind of make sense.
I'm assuming that's what I was gonna say. I'm assuming it'll be announced with the new Xbox.
But they're saying that the Kinect 2 is going to be so accurate, and it also follows up. I realize I start and stop a lot. It also would make sense because they had a ton of deals over the Black Friday, Cyber Monday for Xbox and Kinects. Like,
and I think up until Christmas, there's going to be awesome deals.
Right.
Like, even though
last year it was a pretty big seller for Christmas, because it was out before Christmas last year, wasn't it?
Yeah. So there, I mean, there's going to be a new Xbox announced next year, for sure.
Hopefully 1080.
But I would not let that stop anybody from buying an Xbox now, because the deals are awesome, and it's a good console.
And, and we didn't even put it on here, but Verizon Fios is announced, or maybe it was rumored. I'm pretty sure they announced that sometime soon they're going to be partnering with Xbox. Like, if you have their cable, you're going to be able to get, like, it's like 40 some odd channels. And we talked about them before getting TV. And we said December 6th, which is actually rapidly approaching, is going to be the time for their update. So I'm sure we'll have more news then when they actually release their winter update. But the Kinect 2, I don't know if I ever got to the point, is going to be so accurate that it could read your lips, potentially, which seems crazy.
I don't know
what else.
For how accurate, I haven't played it, but I've heard from the brother-in-law, Sam, and from Todd, and like, it's responsive.
He would have a Kinect.
He
loves
one.
Windows. Microsoft. I played with it a little at Best Buy, but that's all the interaction I've had with it. But I don't know. It seems cool. And so accurate, it could read your lips. Who knows? We'll see. We'll probably find out at CES, I'm sure.
Yeah. CES is in March?
Yeah, it's soon.
Is it sooner than that?
No, I think it's probably March.
Okay.
Maybe. Nah, I think it's in March.
So, anyways. Sorry, I feel like I'm skipping this story. Google.
So.
Speaking of my favorite company. They are, so if you've been on Google at all, you'll realize that they have a
huge, I'm sure you've been to Google before,
they have a huge black bar on top, just a big eyesore up there to make you, and I think they've created it as an eyesore so people would notice that it's there, because otherwise it would just blend in. Well, they are currently working on rolling out an updated version, making it a little more incognito.
The bar itself?
They're hiding the bar. There's not going to be a bar.
No bar?
No bar. It's going to be all... See, and I didn't get to watch the demo video because I ran out of time at lunch, but I believe it was going to be...
Is it going to be like the dock on my Mac?
I don't know what that is. Sure.
Like when I go to the bottom, then it pops up?
Oh. I thought it was next to the Google logo, actually. There's
maybe. A little arrow or something that...
Yeah.
Then you click on it.
There's a drop down, and then you'll have all of your apps in there.
Yeah.
So,
That's what I see an image of. So
it'll be much better. And then Google Plus is built into it now.
Like, of course it is. So doubling down on Google Plus.
It's true.
They have like 8-hour commercials about it now.
Yeah, if you
commercial seems. Have you seen the commercial?
Uh-uh.
It just seems to go on forever. Is anyone in the kind of treading off topic? But has anyone in chat seen the new Google Plus commercial? Because honestly, I just feel like it's the longest commercial in the world. I mean, I don't know. But maybe you could YouTube it. Find the link.
Oh, I'll post a link in chat for
Randy. Will post a link in chat. It just, I mean, it gets the point. I don't even know if it does. It's a crazy commercial. Like when they were doing the Lady Gaga Chrome commercials, that made sense because the music kind of sped it up a little, even though it was a longer. I mean, and by longer, I mean it's probably like honestly 30 seconds long. But in our tiny world, our tiny ADD world that we're evolving into, that is what it's become. That seems long to me.
Isn't it funny how a bad commercial can seem so long, but a good commercial can seem so short?
Yeah. It's all relative. It's just like a busy day at work will go fast, but if you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
It's all relative. Did someone else find it? That's a secret hack. That's not it.
No, there's a video on there that shows it.
Oh, the new... You found a video for what?
For the new Google toolbar.
Oh, I'm talking about the commercial.
Oh, sorry.
But regardless, YouTube the commercial, whatever. Or watch TV. It was on during the football game. That's when and then I saw Twitter go crazy about the commercial. I think that's when on Thanksgiving during the Lions-Packers game. And in case you want to follow football, then you can always find us at thepointafterattempt.com. But
oh yeah, you are correct. I just saw the announcement.
Cosmic Panda?
No. In chat.
YouTube.
YouTube got a makeover today.
Yeah, I saw that was coming a while ago. Of course it is. They're redoing everything else. Why wouldn't they do it?
Yep. So if you haven't been there, I like it. Looks nice. Yeah. It's Googled.
It's Googled, so that means it's smaller. No,
it's
smaller, but
it's more. I think it's more intuitive. It's a good redesign.
Loading. How about the new look? Send feedback. I need to get out of there. That's bad.
I like it. Anyways,
I mean it's not bad. I just shouldn't be running any more than I already am right now.
I get it.
Go check it out later.
So, and then a late ad for our stories. If you are a shopper at all on Amazon, you will have heard of Amazon Prime.
Or if you listen to our podcast, because I think we talk about it every week.
It's probably another one that we do talk about quite frequently.
Because personally, I love it. So, okay. And Randy sent me an interesting fact about it yesterday.
What's that?
I don't know, something about 70% more. I do 70% more shopping.
I believe the percentage was 70% of the users who have Amazon Prime are more likely to, that's just like one of the chat people said, are more likely to spend more money. They gave a dollar amount with it too on how much extra these people spend, but it was a
large amount. It just makes so much more sense. The first place I look for anything is on Prime. Like even if I'm at Target, because I can have an app, I can just scan the barcode and see if it's cheaper. And if I don't need it right away and it's cheaper, why wouldn't I just do that? It's free shipping. It'll be here in 2 days. And if I really need it and I'm not at Target or they don't have it at Target, $3.99 for next day air. It's pretty cheap.
That's way cheap. So Google has decided they're getting bored. They're saying, you know what, iPhone.
They're not doing anything else.
iPhone, you guys are winning right now, but we're still coming for you. We've got the YouTube, what's the word I was looking for? The social deals now.
Oh, offers, Google offers?
Yeah, but I was looking for one of the other companies. Hey, Groupon. It wasn't Groupon that I was looking for. Living Social. Move on over.
Living Social. It's on your fridge.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I bought one from them. Google has decided, nope, we need more competition. They are going after Amazon Prime.
Why don't we just fight everybody?
they would like to see a more unified...
Google wants to be the internet.
It's true. They not just... They want to make a, quoting in there, Amazon Prime for the internet. They want to make it a... They want all companies to join on board to do this. So you can ship through Google by paying a yearly fee or whatever it may be. I think they are... I think they'll do good with it.
It's funny because reading this analysis, it says the Wall Street Journal sources were the ones that said this, but they said it's because they're mad at Amazon because people search for the products directly on Amazon instead of searching on Google.
Right. Which I'm going to say I disagree because there's a lot of stuff. I use Google, like I'll search for a product. Say I'm looking for a graphics card. I'll go there and click on the shopping because it gives you all of the results. Most of the time, Amazon is first in line, but it gives me all of the prices in order.
Okay, you do that. Do you think that the average consumer does that?
I don't know. Probably not. But if they...
I think they go to either eBay, Craigslist, or Amazon. But obviously Amazon, especially for Prime users... I mean, why even check? But I don't search any... Like, I'll go to... I would go to, like, CNET and search it through... Because I'll look at the review, and then it'll always tell me prices there, too. I never... Unless it's something I can't find on a regular site. Like, my grandpa wanted me to find him a cap for his Bobcat for the oil plug or something. I don't know. That I Googled. But, I mean, other than that...
So you always do... Well, I mean, you have Amazon Prime, but, so you have no need to look for it. But, like...
But I'll check CNET, too, but because they give comparative prices on different sites. Like, well, at least for tech stuff. Like, anything electronics, I'll check CNET, because I read their reviews, too. But that's... yeah. That's just something else, I guess, kind of, too. But I think people would check... I think they're more likely to check eBay, check... Amazon and check Craigslist to get kind of a feel for what the price is rather than looking on Google. Or when they Google it, Amazon's the first thing that comes up and they just automatically start going to Amazon. Because I would say that 8 times out of 10, Amazon is the cheapest, if not more. And you guys are talking about Windows. But yeah. So Google is trying to create a Prime competitor. And as of right now, Macy's, The Gap, Office Max, and a few others supposedly have joined Google. So we'll see what happens with it. If anything. At all. That's really all the news.
It's true. 4 minutes. Trying to think what else.
How much?
I got it.
What?
Oh, people in chat are giving me crap.
What are they giving you crap about?
That I have ADHD.
You kind of do.
Well, it's tonight I do because I got my wife doing freaking throwing crap around in the kitchen and saying the internet's broke. And it's like, we're podcasting. It's not broke. And then freaking, I don't know.
Yeah, but then you were talking about Windows.
I know, that's because we're...
Windows 95 and 98.
I know. Mike, have you heard of multitasking?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
No.
How am I not doing it? We're talking about Google. How they're taking over the world. I was letting you do your thing while I was answering questions on the chat. We need a
producer. They were distracting you. We do need a producer. We need another person, too.
I know. He should be in chat at least. He could be doing this from home. He could be producing from home.
Producing from home.
Anyways. Yeah, no. It was finally a fun, more fun week in tech news.
More fun?
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in there. A lot of good, you know, you don't have to like, it's nice when you don't have to like dig for tech news. Like when it just goes, hey, here we are.
Well, the carrier IQ thing has definitely been huge the last day and a half, and killing my Twitter feed, but consuming.
Well, maybe you should have a few less people that you're following.
No.
Yeah.
Why would I have a few less? It still would make all the people I still follow would still be talking about it, so it would still consume my Twitter feed.
No, drop like 200 and you'll be fine.
They would still be talking about it.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have like 10 people talking about it in 30 seconds. You'd have 2 people talking about it in 30 seconds.
Yeah, I'll keep it the way it is.
All right. So,
speaking of Twitter, if you want to follow us on Twitter, at BleepGeek.
It's true.
Or find us on Facebook.
Facebook.com/BleepGeek.
Do you go to Twitter parties?
What's a Twitter party?
Yeah, I don't know what a Twitter party is.
We should have one. Why don't we have Twitter parties?
Are they going to explain to us what a Twitter party is?
Hopefully. Keep going. You can find us, search for us on Google+.
Yeah, which I have updated a few times.
What else do we have? Randomly. Oh, how about tell us what you think of our new site, redesign.
Redesigned.
Tell us how we're doing. If you have any questions, tech related, shoot us an email. Fans, F as in Frank, A as in Alpha, N as in
Nancy.
S as in Sierra.
Sierra, that's what you use for S? That seems right.
It is, at bleedgeek.com.
Yeah, or you can always leave us a voicemail if you want to call us at 406-79-GEEKS, which is also 406-794-3357.
And you can follow us individually if you'd like. I'm usually tweeting. Mike's more of a follower than a tweeter.
More of a voyeur.
Yeah. What's yours at?
Mike037.
And I am at Crandall111.
Yeah. That pretty much is everything, huh?
I think so. So, well, with that,
I'm Mike Girl.
I'm Randy Orvis. And
thanks for listening.
Google's taken over the world.
And we